Welcome to Career Tools. This week, meetings and the high C. The questions this cast answers are, as a high C, how can I be more effective in meetings? What behaviours should I watch out for as a high C in a meeting? And how should I prepare as a high C going into a meeting?
If your knowledge of desk, high D's, I's, S's and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
So high C's are probably the DISC profile that are least comfortable in a meeting. And if you don't know what DISC is, just search for it on our website and there'll be a ton of information about what it is and how to take it and what it means and all that kind of stuff. But if you know you're a high C already, you probably know you don't particularly enjoy meetings. There's a lot of people, there's a limited time available, and you have to make quick decisions. People want you to make decisions right now based on what you've just heard, and that's not comfortable for a high C. So in this guidance, we're going to try and make them a little bit more successful for you. So what have we got, Kate?
The first part of our cast today is smile and greet everyone. And then we're going to talk about how you should be setting time aside to prepare for meetings, the fact that you should speak up during the meeting, and also that the high C can track deliverables within the meeting.
Yeah, can be something useful to do.
Yeah.
So smile and greet everyone. That sounds like a nightmare.
That's such a high C thing to say. I don't know if it's a nightmare. For me, it'd be fine. But yes, you know, there's people in the meeting too. And for high C's, work is a series of tasks. But there's people there too. And people are just as important and critical as checking off that list of tasks. In fact, I talk to people all the time at our public conferences about their work and what's going on. And the things I hear the most about are other people. It would be great for some people if their job didn't have any other humans involved. But there's very few jobs where there's zero human interaction. And so we have to be cognizant of the fact that we're surrounded by people all the time, and those people have different styles than us, right? So we can't just fall back on our own preferences because not everyone's like us, right? Only probably 25% of the world is like us. And so in your meeting, it's unlikely that the whole room is going to be just like you. And so if the high C has to go to meetings and there are people there.
And people have other styles who feel differently about the things that you do. So you might not feel the need to introduce yourself to new people. You figure they'll come and introduce themselves, or you'll find out what their name is when you need to. You might not feel like in order for the meeting to be successful that you need to shake hands with everyone that you saw earlier today. But actually for the high I's, they really want you to do that. The high S's too. They want you to come and talk to them, and they want to be feeling welcomed into the room if you're in there first. So when you are meeting people for a meeting, when you're going into the room, look people in the eye, smile at them and shake their hand and call them by their name. You can consider this part of the task of meeting, if you like. If I'm going to a meeting, one of the things I need to do is look people in the eye, smile at them, shake their hand, and call them by their name. And it might be uncomfortable, but for the other styles, for example, you're calling them by name, is a demonstration of how much you value them. And their value to you, their value to other people is really important to them. And so you're doing something that makes them feel like they're important to you. And guess what? They'll do more of what you wanted if you do that. that's a high D talking, because a high D just wants other people to do what they want, but it works both ways.
Well, the high C wants those people to get their tasks done, right?
Yeah. And
they're more likely to do those tasks. The other styles are more likely to do those tasks if they know that you value them. And this is just a way for them to measure, right? It's a way mm-hmm. to say, oh, right, when I come into the room, that person's always polite to me. And they gauge that by whether or not you smile, by whether or not you shake their hand, by whether or not you know their name. For the high C, when you're meeting someone, when you're introducing yourself, when you're saying hi, you can smile pretty big, right? Pretty broad. It's going to feel big. It's going to feel effusive to the high C just to have like a big smile on their face. But one of the things about being a high C is there's that flat affect. And so oftentimes people aren't sure if you like them, high C's, because you always kind of have that same facial expression. And that's really great for being diplomatic in the meeting and listening to other people's ideas. But when you're meeting someone, when you're talking to them, when you're introducing yourself, it's okay to smile at them, right?
Yeah, and to smile much bigger than you think, because you're just hitting normal. When we do it at the conference and people start practicing and you can see a high C trying to be a high I, which is one of the practices we do in the conference, the high C's are sort of barely even smiling. And when you ask them afterwards, they go, I felt like a clown for the whole thing. And it's just what you're used to and the level at which you're used to doing it. So you can be way bigger than you think you can with an I and a D.
These kind of small differences in DISC profile makes, for me, such interesting interactions mm-hmm. in the workplace. You're exactly right. You know, the high C thinks, oh my gosh, I was smiling so big. And the high I is thinking, you didn't. In fact, we have this at the conference. I tell people, high C's, you don't have a lot of facial expression sometimes. And this is your listening face. And I make the listening face of the high C. I make the listening face of the high D too, but it's not as polite. And, when I do it, they all kind of chuckle. Then I share with them that I spend the whole day looking at a room of faces that are just high C faces. And sometimes at the end of the day, someone will come up and say, Kate, I smiled at you all day. No, you smiled at me 3 times in 8 hours. Anyways, we get so excited about this stuff. But we do recommend that since you're going to have this task for meeting people, greeting them, saying hello, introducing yourself, smiling, that we would recommend that you maybe arrive early so that you have time to do it, so that you're there in the room to greet people. It's harder to show up when the room is already full and greet everybody. So if you're a little bit early, then the people who come into the room might come up to you, right? They come up to you as they walk in, and that way you can meet everyone and greet them one at a time, as opposed to having to go all the way around the table that's already full.
Yeah. But you don't want to greet each person and then go back to your laptop. That's cheating. You need to continue the conversation until the meeting is ready to start. So consider your laptop useless for the meeting, because you can't build a relationship with a laptop. And you're trying to build a relationship with the people in the meeting with you. And so you want to put your laptop away, and therefore you will only have the people to concentrate on, and you can do that. And our first ever podcast that Mike and Mark did is Solution to a Stalled Technical Career. If you go to the All Podcast page and page right to the bottom, you'll find it. And that's about high C's and relationships and why people are important. And it has some more actionable things you can do to build relationships that are kind of outside of what we're going to talk about today. The other cast that might be useful to you is one called Micro Conversation. That has a concept called the medicine ball, and it's about conversation and who has the action in a conversation and how to keep it going. So that might be useful to you too if you can't think of what to say, or you struggle to think of what to say or carry on a conversation for a long time, which is perfectly normal. Lots of us get to adulthood without being able to do that. And sometimes it's just our profile that we just don't think it's worth it, and so we never practice. And then when we try and do it, it's hard to do. So those two casts will be helpful to you.
Those are really good casts, actually. They're like Hall of Fame stuff, really good. The next part of our guidance is that we would recommend you set aside time to prepare for the meeting. Usually the high C's want to examine the data from all sides, right? They really want to dig down in the weeds and have kind of an in-depth consideration of the information that they're being presented. They want to really have a full understanding. And that kind of consideration of the data is a useful skill. And so high C's can add value to teams by doing that. Except we need to be cognizant of when we're doing that analysis. It's really not valuable to do this work within the meeting, while you're in the meeting itself. There's some math there too that's kind of interesting, right? If there are four people in the meeting and they each make $52,000 a year, if we assume a 40-hour work week, each person costs $25 an hour. So for each hour that you're in the meeting of four people, the total cost is $100 an hour. If you're doing work in the meeting that could have been done before, you're wasting $100 an hour.
That's a lot of money, if you think about it. You know, for all of, you know, everyone complains they do nothing but go to meetings. That could be a lot of money in a week. And not only the money, but the time, because you can't get that time back. Time is one of those resources. It's really annoying. You never get it back. And so wasting your time, wasting other people's time by doing the analysis work in the meeting is not good for you, it's not good for them, and it's not good for the company.
What we would encourage you to do is to set aside time prior to the meeting to review the information you have and consider your position. If there's anything in the data or in the slides or in the presentation that's not clear, maybe it's part of the objective or maybe the agenda isn't clear, we would say that you should ask about it ahead of time. You know, find out from the person who's in charge of the meeting or the presenter, find out the answers to some of your questions, or at least ask so that they have the time to prepare answers to those questions, and do that ahead of time.
Yeah, it's the opposite of pre-wiring. So if it were your meeting and you had data, then you would perhaps go to the people that are going to go in the meeting and show them your slides, show them the data and give them the opportunity to ask the questions that they might have asked in the meeting and embarrassing you. That happens to me all the time because I am not good with data and I sometimes think things add up when they don't. And if you've pre-wired, if you've gone out to the people that are going to be in that meeting and you've answered all their questions, then the meeting goes swimmingly and it looks like you get a slam dunk every time, which is good for you and it looks good for everybody else. Too. That's another great cost. But this is the opposite. This is if you're going to a meeting, it's someone else's data and you don't understand it, or there's something lacking, there's some detail lacking, then you go to them and say, hey, I need to understand this more. Otherwise, I'm going to need to ask questions in the meeting and that's going to be a waste of everybody's time.
Everybody should be prepared for meetings. I think one of the reasons meetings are so frustrating is that people are not prepared. Everyone should be prepared. But it's especially valuable for the high C because the high C can really have an understanding of the data that's helpful and useful. And in that way, preparedness will help the high C to really focus on our next recommendation, which is that during the meeting, you speak up.
So the most important thing here is silence is not assent. So if you are silent, that does not mean that you agree with what's being said. You have to say it out loud. If the meeting is going well and the correct, in your eyes, decisions are being made and nothing is out of order, that doesn't mean that you can't be silent. Just because you say, I have nothing to add, I didn't want to say anything because everything was fine, that's not a valid defense. Remember that you're costing $25 an hour to be in that meeting. And so you have to do something. You can't sit there silent through the whole meeting. Otherwise, it was pointless having you there. So you do have to make a contribution. And even if you agree with everything, you still have to make a contribution.
Yeah, you get invited to meetings for a reason. And it does cost money to have you there. So it's costing the company money for you to sit there. If you're not willing to contribute, then that money is wasted, essentially. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have people come to meetings and just sit there like a bump on a log. Even if we agree, even if the high C agrees, you don't have to be silent. You can say things like, that makes sense to me, I agree, or I think that's a good recommendation, something like that. People value the high C's opinion often because they know that the high C is accurate and thorough and conscientious. And so the high C's input, which may be something as simple as I agree or yes, that makes sense, that high C input can really add weight and just extra emphasis to a decision that's made, right? If you don't say anything, nobody in the meeting knows what you're thinking. They can't read your mind. And so if you are not saying anything during the meeting, they may not understand that you agree, that you think things are going fine. They can't guess that from your silence, right?
Yeah. I mean, if there's five people in a meeting, if somebody makes a recommendation and one person says, yes, I agree, and the other three are silent, that's a really different meeting to one person makes a recommendation and four people agree. The likelihood of that recommendation being a good one and being able to be implemented is far higher if there's more weight behind it, if there's more agreement behind it. And so your agreement is important. So you have to do that out loud.
Mm-hmm. And it can be hard too, because sometimes, not always a high C, but there are people who believe that silence is a polite way to kind of say no, which isn't professional behavior. You're hired, you're employed, you're part of the team. And so your opinion and considerations are valuable to the team. It's not okay to be silent because it could be interpreted in many ways and it doesn't help us to move forward. And if you are one of those people who feels frustrated that meetings don't really get things done, then part of that can be alleviated by speaking up and voicing your opinion.
Yeah. Okay, so that's part of what's going on in a meeting, you listening and agreeing or disagreeing. But then there's also the speaking part. So when it's your time to speak, start with the bottom line up front. So that what that means is you give the gist of what you're about to say in one sentence when you first start to speak. So for example, you would say, I disagree with Martin. I think that paint can be easily recycled. Or Robert's point is valid and we need to investigate the failure of the part as well. And that gives everybody an idea of what you're about to talk about, the detail of what you would talk about, and so they can fit it into something. If you just start going on about this part that needs to be investigated, people can think that you've missed the point because you haven't said, oh, Robert's point is valid and we need to investigate this part further. They can think, oh, you weren't listening, you didn't hear what Robert said, or you're just going off on a tangent in the detail. Whereas if you give a headline to your speech or the headline to what you're going to talk about, it's much easier for people to put it in context, to understand why you're giving them detail. It makes them miss it more patiently because they know where you're going and they're willing to follow you there.
Mm-hmm. We do have to watch, though. We have to be careful because they are willing to follow us, but maybe only so far. We need to be cognizant of the agenda. Just because you have an important point doesn't mean that you can go over the agenda and take up that time. We would recommend don't speak for longer than the agenda allows, unless you check with the meeting leader. But we want to be careful because often as the high C, you might be willing to share a lot more detail than everybody else, right? The high C has more data, more details to share. And so that could turn into something that takes up some extra minutes. And we want to be really careful about that because if it's not your meeting, you can really, I don't know, mess up the agenda for the rest of the group.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly don't want to destroy somebody's agenda just so that we can give some extra details, right? If we start with our bottom line up front, then we have said the most important thing. And then that way we can watch the agenda as well and contribute without causing everyone in the room to have to stay late or something like that. So keep in mind that as an attendee, you have responsibility for the agenda and keeping the meeting on time. And so you can either discuss your point if there is ample time in the agenda, or you could take it offline to talk with someone or to share the rest of your points with them. If it's your meeting, good news. You could choose to go over agenda.
You know, as annoying as you find a higher I telling all their stories before they get to the point, that's how annoying the rest of the people will think of you and your details. And both of you have important things to say, and people should be in inverted commas, because what people are and what they should be are two different things. But people should be more patient with everybody else's foibles. But if you need a comparison, that's what to compare it with. And, you know, high eyes often lead the agenda astray as well. And so those are the two things that you are the two profiles who need to just watch the agenda while you're talking.
Not so funny. Those are also the two profiles in my experience that think of themselves as the most different from each other, right? The high C is like, oh, I am so different from the high I, and the high I is like, I am so different from the high C. And yet our tendencies cause the same things to happen often.
Yeah, probably for different reasons, like coming at the thing from two different opposite directions. But yeah, they end up in the same place.
Right. The agenda went over because the high I told a story about pretzels. Or the agenda went over because the high C talked for 45 minutes about a spreadsheet. Same issue.
Same outcome.
Yep. Different details. One of the details that we really want to focus on, though, that everyone should be focusing on, and the high C is usually pretty comfortable focusing on, is deliverables. And so our last point today is that we should be tracking deliverables during the meeting and after the meeting as well, right?
Tracking deliverables is an ideal job for the high C in that they're task focused and they tend to have a really well-organized system for due dates and reminders. So in a meeting, if there is going to be deliverables, and of course, really you shouldn't be having a meeting if there aren't any deliverables, otherwise there was no point in meeting, there is going to be a list of deliverables, then being the person responsible for taking down those deliverables and knowing when the due dates are is a good job for you. It will keep you engaged in the meeting, but you're also delivering value to the team. That said, it's not an ideal job for you in that you focus on the tasks and the due date, and at least half the people in the workplace don't. So they focus on people and they find your focus on tasks and due dates to be pedantic. Although this is a good job for you, and it's probably one that you'll want to take, just be careful because there's a people aspect to this too, and you don't want to be the person who's really focused on a due date and isn't taking into account some of the people-related things.
We have to be cognizant of the fact that the way we focus on tasks and the way other people focus on tasks is different. So, for example, you probably shouldn't be sending emails with notices of tasks and approaching due dates. Maybe you could pick up the phone or go down to the person's cube, go talk to them, go to their desk. It can be really casual, right? Hey, just want to remind you, we have that task coming up and I'd love to help if you need any help. And I just want to make sure everything's on track or something like that. And we just want to focus on using our task-mindedness, but switching our focus from that to, hey, people have to do these tasks. It's not just the task that has to be done. We're not all just going around every day just doing our tasks. We're people too. And so we can just stop by and be polite. And it doesn't take that much longer. You know, I can just imagine the high C having a list of people they have to remind to do their tasks. And so they check off those tasks without ever having talked to anyone, right? Just sending little reminders to people from their cube.
It's amazing how other people don't read reminder emails.
Yeah.
High D's don't. The high I's don't. The high S's will because they're doing it for you. But yeah, the high I's couldn't care less.
Yeah, it's not useful for all of the styles. And we have to work with people. So it's not really very polite and it's not very effective, but it's not the nicest way to remind people about their tasks, right? Maybe we want to offer to help and talk to that person for a few minutes instead.
And helping a person might not be part of your job, but it makes the nudge less of a thorn. And it doesn't necessarily mean doing that task for that person. Perhaps they need you to remind someone else, or the task due date needs to be extended. Or sometimes they just need the reminder just to remember that they had that task and they need to get it done. Or sometimes they need to get more information and they realize that the person they asked for more information that hasn't got back to them and they need to do that again. So help isn't, oh, I'll do this task for you. Help is like, what can I do to facilitate you doing this task? Is there a roadblock? Is there someone else I can talk to? Is there something you need that I can get to you from someone else? These kind of connections are what make you a valuable person in the workplace. And again, they're all things that probably don't come naturally to you, but are really useful and will make you more valuable.
If we are gentle and we're casual and we're polite about reminding people, it leaves the impression with people that you're helpful, that you are focused on the team and things like that. And remember that the other profiles value those things. The mm-hmm. other profiles are wondering and focused on whether or not we're all working together as a team. And so it changes the tone of reminding people, right? Because that's what we're doing. We're reminding people that they have things to get done. And that's a good thing to keep people on track. But doing it differently, doing it in person and gently and politely, as opposed to sending an email, changes the tone of what you're doing in order to be more effective and help people to get things done more easily. So it changes that, the impression that people have of you, right? It makes it so that you are polite and helpful, as opposed to, wow, that guy just really wants to get things done and doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Exactly. So we're going to smile and greet everyone in the meetings. We're going to set aside time to prepare and make sure we've asked our questions before the meeting. We're going to make sure to speak up, and we're going to track the deliverables. And meetings are not particularly a natural place for a high C, but there are some simple changes, the ones we've described in this cast, that can make you more effective and helpful in meetings. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. I hope high C's got some ideas from this and some ways that they can work better. We'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.